Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening to the live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this very first day of August 2022. And I am so thrilled after a seven-year absence. We have as a returning guest today my old friend Jerry Johnson, who is a renowned Reformed Christian apologist, a documentarian, and producer of the very successful DVD series Amazing Grace, the History and Theology of Calvinism. Today we are going to be addressing valuable lessons Jerry Johnson learned from God after a stroke. And it's my honor and privilege and joy to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jerry Johnson.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Good to be here.
Well, Jerry, I have been receiving a lot of emails and Facebook Messenger questions from listeners who heard that you were going to be on the show today. And pretty much they're all saying the same thing. What happened to Jerry? He disappeared off the face of the earth. We used to love Against the World, that recurring documentary-style YouTube production that you had. It was a video production nonetheless. I don't know if it was on YouTube. And your books and other things that were coming from your mind, heart, and soul, and pen, and voice. So the last time, as I mentioned, that you were on this program was 7 years ago. I had the honor and privilege to discuss with you a very important issue. It was your documentary, Beware False Prophets, The Case Against Charles G. Finney, which is a mind-blowing, eye-opening documentary about the serious heresies of Charles Finney, which really put him well outside of the authentically Christian camp. And even knowing this to be true, there are amazingly many fundamentalists to this day who tout Charles G. Finney as one of the greatest Christian heroes of the faith for the last 2,000 years. But that was the last time we were on 7 years ago, exactly September 9th, 2015, which is the same year Iron Sharpens Iron Radio relaunched after we moved from New York to Pennsylvania. So give us an update on all the things that have transpired since that date in 2015 until now.
All right. Well, let me say this. I'm going to start off with that video, Beware of False Prophets. I read a review a while ago, and it was quite evident the guy never watched the documentary. And let me just pause here real quick and make a statement. Since my stroke, I do get tired talking. And I slur my words. I start slurring my words, And if I do that and you have to ask me to repeat myself, it doesn't hurt my feelings. So I just wanted to let you know that and let your listeners know that. I've had a couple of people tell me I sound the same, but it's slowly coming back. But anyway, that's one thing. Let me talk about the Charles Finney video. Like I said, I read this review a couple of years ago, and it was quite evident the guy had not watched the documentary, because this was not a Reformed Calvinist versus our Arminian video. John Wesley was an Arminian. I do believe, as wrong as he was, John Wesley was still my brother in Christ. I would say that about any evangelical Arminian. I believe they're wrong, but on the gospel itself, they don't understand what they're saying, but they still believe it. Charles Finney did not believe the gospel. And that was the sharp distinction. He was actually a Pelagian. And he really believed that you made yourself righteous by obedience to the law of God. We both know that the law does not provide salvation. It points the way to salvation. You can never measure up. And that's what the law does. It exposes your sin and points you to Christ. And if you are not pointed to Christ, quoting again John Wesley, if you deny total depravity or original sin, which Finney did, you are still a heathen. That is not me talking, although I agree with it. That is John Wesley.
Yeah, and that actually came up, and your documentary actually came up very recently when I was interviewing a man, Dr. David Lawrence, who was for many years, most of his life, in fact, a member of the Church of Christ, a minister in the Church of Christ, and a professor at one of their most prominent universities, Lipscomb University in Nashville, Tennessee. And and we brought up the fact that many, that not all, we have to be careful not to broad brush the Church of Christ, because each congregation is independent and autonomous, so they're not a cookie cutter. But many within the Church of Christ are just as Pelagian as Charles Finney.
And, yes, they are. That is true.
And
I will let you know this, Chris. I was an evangelical Arminian, and I was actually debating a Church of Christ representative on TV over baptism. And I was one that believed that although you should be baptized, it's not a part of saving faith, if you will. If you're not baptized, you know, you're not baptized. And the guy looked at me and said, I looked at the guy and I said, if you stood before God's throne, basic EE question, if you stood before God's throne and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And the Church of Christ apologist said, well, I was baptized. I did this. I did that. I joined the right church that had the right name, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at him and I said, you know what your problem is? You said I. And
that's right. That's pretty much what David Lawrence said as well, when in his description of his question to many in the Church of Christ as well.
Yeah. Well, this guy looked at me and he said, well, what would you say? And I would say, well, I would say I believed. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's the same thing. And I realized he was right. That's why in the Reformed faith, we emphasize by the grace of God, by faith in Christ.
And I think
by faith.
Yes, and I think a good answer would be to repeat exactly what the tax collector said in the temple after the Pharisee was bragging about himself in prayer, that God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Right. And that's it. God be merciful to me. I'm sorry. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You're right.
Amen.
So, anyway, I just wanted to say that. Let me go into, as most of your listeners probably know by now, I had a stroke. And I can honestly say that was the worst day of my life. They actually did not think I would live. I mean, I had a massive brainstem stroke.
And how long ago was this?
A little over 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And it was February 7th, 2019.
And tell us all the symptoms and everything that led to that.
All right. What happened was about 10 days before, my eyes started getting really blurry and double vision, but only for about 2 or 3 minutes. And it only happened 3 times. The last time it happened, I thought, you know, I better call my doctor, who's a friend of mine. And I called him, and he was in with the patient, and one of his nurses said, can you tell me what the problem is? And in my own stupidity, I said no. And I said, I'll call back later, and I never did. And come to find out, he probably would have sent me to the hospital right away. Now, all of this happened because six weeks earlier, my wife and I had been going down 81, and a semi-truck slammed in the back of our car and totaled it. Praise the Lord, neither of us were hurt. But, of course, I threw myself in front of her because I didn't want her to hit the dashboard. And when I did, I hit the windshield. And although we can't prove it because it was 6 weeks later, my doctor thinks that's what led to the stroke. But we can't prove it. So, speed up to February 7th. My wife, I had parked behind her, and we had a single car driveway. And what I did was I usually went out and moved my car and scraped the ice from her windshield before she left for work. And all of a sudden this day, I started not feeling good. I started getting sick to my stomach. And so I went the room that my middle son, Jacob, had occupied. I went and laid down in the bed. Now, he was no longer there. He had moved out, and him and a friend were living together. And so I laid down in the bed, and I did regurgitate at one point. But it wasn't much. But I could remember laying down in the bed, and I guess I fell asleep. And my wife, Tracy, came down and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm just feeling a little bit under the weather. She goes, are you going to move my car? And I said, you know what, just take mine. I don't want to move. And she said, are you going to be okay? And I said, yeah, I think so. And she said, I'll stay home if you want me to. And I said, nah, that'll be all right. And so she left, and I tried to go back to work, and I still didn't feel right. And I decided just to log off and do it tomorrow or whatever. And I went upstairs, and I thought, man, I'll turn on the TV, and I'll fall asleep on the couch. Maybe I'll feel better when I wake up. And my youngest son was home. And I could tell all of a sudden my right side started getting paralyzed. My voice box started to go, and I thought I'd better say something before I can't talk anymore. And my youngest son, he usually has or had his earbuds in. I don't know if he does anymore. So I called out to him. I said, Ben, and by the way, he's named after Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield.
Great name.
So I said, Ben, come here for a second, please. And he comes upstairs, and he goes, what's the matter? And I said, you better call an ambulance. And he looked at me and he goes, are you joking? And I said, no. And He called the ambulance, and they, of course, I walked downstairs. I walked down the stairs, but I had to hold on to make sure I wouldn't fall. Because I'm a big guy. I'm like 6'4", and I weighed 250 pounds. And I didn't want those ambulance drivers to have to carry me downstairs. So the ambulance got there pretty quick, and the guy started checking me out, and he goes, "Oh, no, I think you're having a stroke." And they put me in the ambulance, and I heard one of them say, "Should we go to New River Hospital or should we go to Pulaski Hospital?" Pulaski Hospital is actually, it's very small. And the New River Hospital is bigger, but it's about 20 miles away. And the Pulaski Hospital was about 7 miles away. And I heard the guy go, "This guy's having a stroke. We better go to the Pulaski Hospital." And about halfway there, I realized I didn't want to talk anymore. They took me off the ambulance, and that's the last thing I remember, really. And I was out for 2 or 3 days.
Wow, you were unconscious for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, and I was in the hospital for 45 days.
Wow.
They did not think I would make it through the night. Praise the Lord, I did. Now, I want to get back to that in a second. Then they said I would never walk or talk again. All I would have in is locked-in syndrome. And all I could do is move my eyes. And I proved them wrong on that. They said I would never walk or talk again, and I proved them wrong on that. I work out now 3 to 4 times a day. And, I mean, I'm even walking up and down our street with ankle weights on and weights in my hand without holding on to anything. So, praise the Lord, I've come a long way. We'll get into that in just a minute, but I wanted to go back and say this, if I could remember my train of thought. And that's old age. That is not the stroke.
Yeah, I have those moments every single day, many times a day.
You know you're getting old when you run into the kitchen to get something and you forget what you wanted to get.
Yeah, in fact, I just read a meme on Facebook recently that said, you know you're getting old when you can remember the lyrics to 1980s songs far better than you know why you walked into the kitchen.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is true. Oh, man, what was I talking about?
Well, you were talking about how you were in the hospital for 45 days. This is after being unconscious for 3 after your stroke. And so what developed?
Well, you know what, brother? Maybe it'll come back to me. But right now, it's not. So do you have any questions?
Well, I would like to know what was going on in your mind as a believer. Not all believers react the same way when they are experiencing a frightening crisis. The strongest of believers can react differently. Some might remain very calm and be a perfect...
No, that was me. I remained very calm, although I would tell you I didn't like it, of course. I mean, that's obvious. I've had some people, they say, "Hey, brother, why do you think God let you go through this?" And, you know, I've written... documentaries. I've written numerous articles. I published numerous books. I've written a couple. So why would God let this happen to me? And I'll give you a short answer. Why not me? Because the only thing I deserve is the wrath and curse of God. I am in continual manifest rebellion against his glory and his majesty. Every breath I take, and all I could do is cry out, "God, have mercy on a poor, pitiful sinner like me." That's all I could do.
Just like the tax collector.
So, yeah, just like the tax collector, I believe in total depravity. And when people ask me, why do you think God let this happen to you? That is my answer. Really, what I deserve is hell for all eternity. It's pure grace that God saved me. It's pure grace that God let me live. Now, I know what I want to say. And it's kind of a 50-50, if you will. People say to me, aren't you glad you didn't die? The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Do you think being with the Lord would have been a bad thing? No. I mean, I'm glad he let me live, but at the same time, I'm kind of disappointed. That doesn't mean I want him to strike me dead right now. But that is the thing I think about sometimes. How close was I to being with Jesus? You know? So, really, death doesn't scare me anymore, especially when you come that close to it. And I mean, it really never did before. I always hated the idea of how I was going to die. But I know I am going to die because the wages of sin is death. How do I know I'm a sinner? Because the wages of sin is death. I'm going to die. Everybody will. Because all men are sinners. And we're saved by the grace of God. And we owe everything to him.
Amen. And you have had a very accomplished life as a Christian. Your works that you've produced, not only what we were just discussing, the documentary exposing the heresies of Charles Finney, but the amazing, no pun intended, documentary series called Amazing Grace, the history and theology of Calvinism. Every time I speak to somebody who is aware of that series, they say that is the very best tool available to teach the doctrines of sovereign grace, a.k.a. Reformed theology, a.k.a. Calvinism. What was going through your mind during those periods of your life that needed changing, that perhaps this stroke has been used of God to get you to change some attitudes or beliefs or practices in your life? You may have been dealing with pride, for all I know. The thing that's amazing about Calvinism is that the doctrines themselves, if rightly understood, humble the sinner even after they are saved. And yet there is an abuse of them where people who claim to be Reformed and Calvinist are very often exalted to a proudful state in contradiction of what the doctrines teach us. I'm just guessing here. What were things and these lessons? In fact, that was the very theme that you wanted to address. Valuable lessons God taught you after a stroke. So tell us about at least a couple of these before we go to our first station break.
All right. One thing I would tell you, and I want to go back and say this, in the video, Amazing Grace, and by the way, just so you know, I not only produced it, I was the senior producer or the executive producer, I also wrote it. Now, Eric Holmberg, he's a much better writer. I write like a technical journal. Eric did a good job on writing it as a journey. And one of the things, when I interviewed Dr. D. James Kennedy, he said to me, why does God choose some people? And he said, quite honestly, I don't know. I could tell you why he doesn't choose us. And he went into a litany of total depravity. So he didn't choose us because we were wealthy or because we were good looking or because we were righteous or anything like that.
In fact, Jerry, we're going to have to go to a station break because we have been kicked off the air somehow. I don't know. It's a technical issue, and I'm going to go to a commercial break until we figure out what's happening.
All right. You want me to hold on, brother?
Yes, just hold on, and we'll be right with you. And we'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
And might I add, brothers and sisters, if you want to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, please subscribe to Ignited by the Word magazine. If you are a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, or you have children somehow closely connected with you in your life, this will be an excellent catechizing tool for you and them. And this will be coming if you either subscribe or renew your subscription and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It could be not more timely because the advertising contract for ignitedbytheword.org is coming up for renewal this month. And we really do need this renewal because of our financial situation. So please consider subscribing to Ignited by the Word magazine at ignitedbytheword.org. Sorry. And tell them, make sure that you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Jerry Johnson. It appears that even though there was a temporary glitch in our broadcast, that apparently the recording never stopped, so we still have all that content. Before the break, you were talking about your magnificent series, DVD series, Amazing Grace, the History and Theology of Calvinism. How many CDs, I'm sorry, DVDs comes in that?
Say it again, brother.
How many DVDs comes in the set?
You know what? It came in a two DVD set. We don't sell it anymore.
Right.
Because it's free on YouTube now.
Okay.
So if somebody just goes and looks up Amazing Grace, the History and Theology of Calvinism on YouTube, they should be able to find it.
And I think that it is important that we inform our listeners that unfortunately the host of that documentary, I don't know why I'm pronouncing it that way, documentary, the host of that documentary, Eric Holmberg, has converted to Eastern Orthodoxy. And I do not say this as an attempt to insult Eric or to be mean-spirited, but that is a very serious and grievous departure. And I would ask everybody who believes in the doctrines of sovereign grace to pray for Eric's theological restoration and his return to the truth, because Eastern Orthodoxy is a very seriously dangerous departure from biblical faith. Am I saying anything out of step here, brother?
You know, I would say if somebody asked me about Eastern Orthodoxy, a real short answer would be they have epitomized the Galatian heresy and they didn't have a reformation to correct it.
There you go. So let's pray.
That's the best way to answer it.
And the only reason I felt
orthodoxy, any kind of orthodoxy like that, the Orthodox Church, I don't mean biblical orthodoxy.
Right.
I mean the Orthodox Church. They're not orthodox at all.
Right.
And this is one thing that has always bothered me. They put a lot of stock, supposedly, into what the apostolic fathers and the post-apostolic fathers said about a passage or something. And I was talking with a guy, oh man, it's got to be about 5-6 years ago. And he was telling, or I asked him, I said, would you go to a two-week-old Christian for advice? And he said, no. I said, would you go to a baby for advice? And he said, no. And I said, so why would you go to the early church? They were making tons of mistakes. Why would you do that? Just because it's closer to the original source. I mean, look at Peter. How many times was he wrong?
Yes, and in fact, Paul warned Timothy to be on the lookout for wolves rising up within the church. So the age of a theological system is not a litmus test for biblical accuracy.
Correct.
And of course, there are many Reformed people who enjoy...
Nor how many people believe it. that's not a test either.
Right. And
we know broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. We know that. So,
and of course, the study of patristics is something that we should not throw out the window, but you cannot or should not have a disproportionate value of what the fathers had to say.
Right. I would agree. Let me quote something here if I can do it.
Right.
I'm probably going to slaughter it. It was in the Amazing Grace DVD, but I read it when I was still an evangelical Arminian, and it was from the pen of R.C. Sproul. And I worked it into the Amazing Grace documentary, and R.C. said this. He said, church history is never the rule. It's only a guide. If you come across a certain passage and you have an interpretation that has escaped the every notice of every other Christian for 2,000 years or has been championed by a universally recognized heretics, then you ought to abandon your interpretation.
Amen. And by the way, I would like to at this point plug very enthusiastically an interview I had on April 13th, 2018, with Dr. Jack D. Kinnear, that's spelled K-I-N-N-E-E-R. He is a Presbyterian pastor and a professor at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We discussed Eastern Orthodoxy, what separates it from Rome and the Reformation, and that was an extraordinary interview, a fascinating and edifying and educational interview on a subject that is rarely, very rarely addressed amongst evangelicals. And I would strongly advise anybody to look that up in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive, ironsharpensironradio.com. And you could type K-I-N-N-E-E-R-R in the search engine, and that will come up. But going on...
You know what, brother? Let me say these two things.
Sure.
One, I am going to listen to that document or that...
interview.
Podcast. So, thank you for that.
Great.
Secondly, let me say this about Eric Holmberg. Now, I have not talked to Eric. I don't know if he's gone into Eastern Orthodoxy.
Oh, I read it from his own words. I read it from his own words.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Where did you see that, if you don't mind me asking?
It was a discussion he was having with people who were wondering why he was so silent for so long and not being engaged in public discourse. And he had said that he had converted to Eastern Orthodoxy and thought it was the wisest thing to do to not immediately start publicly identifying himself that way and getting involved in debate and discussion. He wanted it to sink in for a while, and I'm putting words in his mouth. He basically, in that area of life, he was actually doing the wise thing. Not that his conversion was wise, in my opinion, being a Reformed Christian, but he was not rushing out into the arena of debate with this new faith of his. So, but I saw it coming from his own source. So, you know, these were words coming right from him.
All right. Well, let me say this. I have known Eric, I think the first time I met him was in 1989. So I've known him 30-something years. And I will tell you this. I love Eric. He and I have been friends for a long time. But I will let you know, I will let your listeners know, he was blown around by every wind of doctrine. And you would not believe how many times I had to snatch him back. I mean, when I first met him, he was a charismatic. He was involved in the Word Faith movement. Loved Benny Hinn, all sorts of stuff. Then he was just a normal Pentecostal. Then he became a Southern Baptist, I think, for a while. Then he gave overtures to the Roman Catholic Church. And when I wrote Amazing Grace and I sent him the script, he became Reformed. I was thinking, oh, good, finally. And so that doesn't surprise me but it does disappoint me.
Yes, as it should any believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace. And as I said, I want our listeners to pray for Eric. And I repeat that I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here at all, but I just take these things very, very seriously. I was raised in Roman Catholicism, and it wounds me greatly to even think of the anguish of experiencing, observing beloved family members still enslaved to superstition, idolatry, and works righteousness. And so, therefore, when
Now, I will tell you this. He was involved with Operation Rescue. He and Randall Terry were good buddies.
Right.
And he would go, and he would get arrested at these rescues, and he would be in jail. And one thing I could say about the Roman Catholic Church is they are pro-life. They're not pro-abortion.
Right, although their current pope gave the mass to Nancy Pelosi, knowing that she is a believer in child murder.
I saw that. And Eric would go to jail with these guys. Roman Catholics, a lot of them would be there. They would start crying and praying together. And Eric said, "Are these people really not Christians?" And I would tell him, if they do not follow what Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles said about the gospel, then no. If they are putting their faith in their system, then they are not. Now, have I ever met Roman Catholics that I believed were saved? Oh, Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic. John Calvin was a Roman Catholic. So you got to say yes. But at some point, they come out of the church. Or God calls them home. I don't know. That's up to God. But I can say this with confidence. If they do not believe that justification is by grace through faith in Christ alone, they are not Christians. I don't care who they are.
Yes, we have Ted in Moundville, Alabama, who's listening and just chimed in. "Say it ain't so. Mr. Holmberg was instrumental in my understanding the biblical gospel for the first time, dating back to my early college years." So there's another person lamenting over this news.
Yeah. And you know what? You never know. In 5 years, Eric could change his mind again.
Right. And let's pray that he does.
He could. And that is what I've come to expect.
Right.
Now, I do know he was very good friends with Dr. George Grant.
Yes.
So I'd be interested how George is dealing with this.
Yeah, in fact, I'll ask him. I'd like to get George back on the show because he's such a brilliant brother. And I'm going to be heading to Tennessee in the fall, and hopefully I'll be able to share some fellowship with him before I attend the conference that I'm going to be manning an exhibitor's booth in Knoxville. I know that that's about 2 hours away or so from Franklin, where George is, but hopefully I'll be able to make a pit stop in Franklin. And
what are you doing there, brother?
I'm manning an exhibitor's booth at a conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. I travel all over the country to different conferences, and I set up an exhibitor's booth where I conduct on-air interviews. I give out literature promoting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I have a banner hung behind me and all of that. And it has become a powerful, powerful tool to spread the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio over the years.
Right. Now, brother, the reason I'm asking is we're about 3 hours from Knoxville.
Oh, great. Well, I hope you come, too. And
email me the details.
I will.
Maybe I'll try.
I will.
Now, I will tell you, since my stroke, I am not driving.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe somebody.
So I have to get somebody else to drive.
Yeah, well, bring
I am.
Bring a whole contingency from, you're in Virginia, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, bring a whole group of folks if you want.
Yeah.
And in fact,
I do that, brother.
In fact, I would love to see you at my pastor's luncheon as well with Dr. James R. White. on September 22nd here in Pennsylvania at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville.
Yeah. James and I did a conference together back in 2012.
Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't it a cruise?
Yes, it was a cruise.
Yes.
A conference cruise.
I would love to see you again. In fact, wait a minute. I don't think, believe it or not, you and I have never met face-to-face, have we?
No, sir.
But I would love to have that occur for the first time, even though we've had...
I'm trying to make it, brother. Like I said, email me the details, that email address I gave you earlier, and just email me there all the details, and I'll try to make it. Now, I did want to tell you this. Even though I don't drive right now, I am taking a driver's course. And my mom goes, well, how'd you do? And I said, I only ran over three people. I think I'm doing pretty good.
Well, I hope they were all Arminians. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I will tell your listeners this. They were all on bikes, so they had it coming.
We are going to our midway break right now, and when we return, we're going to be trying to focus more predominantly on the theme of our discussion, lessons that my guest Jerry Johnson learned from God after a stroke. If you'd like to join us.
I got a really important one.
Great. And if anybody wants to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We do have a number of folks waiting to have their questions asked on air and answered. And please be patient with us. But if you want to get in line, send in your question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Keep in mind, folks, the middle break is always longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program every day, they require us to give them the midway break so that they can localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida, which is a requirement of the FCC. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And if you can't purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, please at the very least respond to our advertisers by thanking them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you love the show and are grateful that there are people and organizations who are enthusiastic to share some of the money that God has given them with us so that we can stay on the air. So please thank our advertisers and send in your questions to Jerry Johnson, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
G
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Why not give a gift that has eternal significance, not only to those that you know and love who are your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also, perhaps even especially, the lost folks that you know and love who do not yet know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Always purchase frequently and generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my interview with Jerry Johnson, who is discussing valuable lessons he learned from God after a stroke, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love the show, folks, you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way at your local post office, well, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. And as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me to advertise, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. I would love to hear from you. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, remember, I never want my listeners giving less money to their own local church where you are a member in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. In other words, don't give our gift to us by digging into your budget that is allotted to your regular giving to your local church. I never want to do anything that harms the local pastor and the local church, especially the biblically faithful local pastor and church. And that includes harming them financially. I never want to do that. This program was founded on one of the pillars that it was to be a platform, a friend, a helping hand, an extension, a right arm to the local pastor and the local church who are faithful to the scriptures. So please don't cut into your giving that you give to your church in order to bless us with a gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, I don't want to be the cause of you having more unpaid bills lying on your kitchen table. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you do love this show, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent reasons, for recreational reasons, for frivolous reasons, please share some of that money with us if you don't want us to disappear and you have the financial resources to help us. Please go to ironsharpdesignradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many listeners all over the world in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. If it's for you or a loved one that you know does not have a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jerry Johnson, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before we go into some of the specific lessons that you learned from God, Jerry, I do have a question for you from David in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
He says, I'm very sorry to hear you were ill. I hope your recovery is going well. My question is, will the ministry or website Nicene Council ever return? And his other question is, there is a volume one of Late Great Planet Church. Will there be a volume two?
We were actually working on a volume two. I will tell you this, brother. In 2012, we had a hard time. People were putting Amazing Grace, the first volume, all over YouTube. And we would complain about it. And they would pull it down. And then the next day, somebody would put it back up there. Now, we were a small ministry. And my son, I said something to my son. And he said, you can go to I want to watch this. And watch Hollywood movies even before they've been released in the U.S. And I was like, really? And we were going to go see The Avengers, I think it was, on a Friday, and it was a Tuesday. And I want to watch this, and there was The Avengers before it had been released in the U.S. I don't know if they're still around. And I said, if Hollywood can't stop this pirating, how am I going to do it? With their big legal staffs, they can't stop it. And I noticed sales started going down. Now, actually, I did that conference with James White, I think it was in January of 2012. And we actually had the best 5 months that we had ever had. In 2012. In June, we really hit a kind of a summer lull, but it hit really hard. And I was hoping that we would come out of it in September, October, which we normally did. I didn't ever try to raise money. I just sold products. But we didn't come out of it. And by 2013, we had cut our staff down so much, there were only three of us left. And I knew right then, everything was going to streaming. Amazing Grace is on YouTube, on Amazon. It wasn't on Netflix, but we have started working on Amazing Grace 2, the foundations for Reformed theology. And what we were going to do is we were going to go in to the five solas of the Reformation. You know, why did the Reformers say all of this? And unfortunately, we just didn't have the money. I eventually sold the email list to a guy that had wanted it for a long time. We were able to pay off all our bills. We had a little money left over. Praise the Lord. And But I don't ever see Nicene Council coming back, to make a long story short.
Sure. Well, thanks, David, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron and spreading the word about the program in Albuquerque and beyond. Well, let's start to go through some of these very valuable lessons you've learned from God as a result of your stroke.
All right. Now, one thing I do, I want your listeners to listen very carefully, because this is something, even though I knew it, I didn't really understand the impact of it. Now, I said I was in the hospital for 45 days. I was in a inpatient therapy, and I had a hospital room and all of that. The doctors came in every day. They did their stuff. I couldn't really move that much. I was in a wheelchair, and all I wanted to do was go home. I want you to think about it. All I wanted to do was go home. And I can remember one day they wheeled me into the therapy room, and right in front of me was a calendar, and it said, like, February 27th. And I knew I got to go home on March 22nd. And I can remember looking at that thinking, that will never happen. March 22nd is never going to happen. It's so far out there. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I kept begging my wife, please let me go home. And she said, no, I want you to get therapy. I want you to get better. And I could just remember looking at that thinking, man, all hope is lost. I'm never going home. I'm going to be here my whole life, the rest of it. That is what I was thinking. And now I remember the day I got to go home. I was very excited, although I started getting somewhat comfortable with being in the hospital, because I'd been there for, you know, 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. And I went home, and a month passed by, and then 2 months passed by, and then 3 months passed by, and then a year passed by, and then 2 years passed by, and 3 years. I'm looking at that now thinking, I know I was at therapy in the hospital all those days, but it doesn't seem like it. And it was like the Lord opened my eyes and said, this is how eternity's going to be. Now, I'm not saying he spoke to me. I just got that impression. And so I started thinking about it really hard, because I looked back on it, and it was like I was never at the hospital, but I knew I was there. And this earth is the same way. We're looking at it. It seems long, but compared to eternity, it's very, very short. And a lot of people will prepare themselves. I mean, imagine, if you will, a ladder. And the ladder is really tall. I mean, it's so tall it reaches out into outer space. All right? And the first 5 rungs, they're all painted red or blue or whatever color you want. And that is your life here on earth. And the rest of the ladder, which extends beyond the heavens, I mean, we're talking about a real tall ladder. And it just goes on and on and on. That is your eternal life. And we have all sorts of people, and you had mentioned earlier about money, and I'm sorry to bring this up. I know you probably probably don't like to talk about it, but I'm going to let your listeners know, this is just a side note. When I heard your appeal for money, I pledged to give $1,000. I want every listener to do that. Or give what they can. But I'm going to give you $1,000 right when we get off the line.
Oh, praise God. Thank you.
I want you to keep going, brother. But I looked at that ladder, and you can barely see the bottom part that's painted. And it could be red, yellow, green, I don't care what color. But that is what your eternal life is like. People prepare for retirement, which is only about 20 years. Maybe 15 years, I don't know. Whenever the Lord calls you home. But they don't prepare for eternity. And that's really what we need to be doing. We need to prepare for eternity. And that is probably the most important thing that the Lord showed me during all of this. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yes, yes. Let's see here. We have an anonymous listener who says, how do you combat the lack of trust that may enter into your mind while you are experiencing and recovering from such a frightening trial? I believe, as far as the number of Christians whom I have spoken with who are very solid in their faith and beliefs, who nonetheless have had doubts flood their minds that God is being merciful to them and kind to them. Have you experienced that at all, and how do you overcome it?
Yeah, I would say I have not really experienced that, because I did a documentary 4 hours long on the sovereignty of God. So my stroke didn't catch God off guard. Secondly, I said, God, or people ask me, why would God let this happen to you? And the crazy thing that you need to understand is, why not me? I'm in continual rebellion against His glory and His majesty. I sin every day. I think about sin every day. I will let you know what my sin is. Even after having the stroke, I think girls are great. And I've been married coming up in March 35 years. Why do I still have these thoughts? Because I'm a sinner. And I'm going to sin. And you can know it, because not only the Bible says it, but I'm going to die one day. So, really, it's more than I deserve. Life is more than I deserve. Christ is definitely more than I deserve. Salvation is more than I deserve. Everything is more than I deserve. And yet God chose to save me. Why? I don't know. For His own goodwill and pleasure. And that's all it is. That's the only answer I have. I don't know. But I have never despaired. Remember when Daniel and his friends were going to be thrown into the fire? Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, even if you do this, we're still going to praise the Lord. And we have to have that attitude. No matter what this life throws at us, remember, we're only here for a short time. I don't care if you get eaten by a tiger. We're only here for a short time. And Christ Himself said, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul. We don't want our soul destroyed.
I'm still canceling my safari next year, so.
There you go. I don't know where eaten by a tiger came from. That just came out of the blue.
One of the things that I know is that going through trials in my life, and I know full well that there are countless millions of people on this planet who have suffered infinitely more seriously than I have. But the biggest ways that I have suffered is experiencing the death of loved ones, such as my parents and my precious late wife and my oldest brother, John. So that's the greatest connection I have with suffering. But all I know is my faith in God's sovereignty over all things, and that he has orchestrated everything that occurs in heaven and on earth, and it's for the good of his people who love him and are called according to his purpose. That gives me a peace that I would never find elsewhere. Now, obviously, people who know me know that there are times I can get extremely anxious and fearful and worried about certain things that are infinitely less important in the grand scheme of things. So I'm not trying to claim that I have this perpetual, uninterrupted, rock-solid faith. I do fall and go into a reverse mode and act like an Arminian sometimes. But when I remember those precious truths of God's sovereignty of all things, it really gives me a peace I could not have received otherwise. And I am amazed when discussing trials and tribulations with my Arminian friends on paper or in their rehearsed answers, they believe in a horrible concept of purposeless suffering, that things happen happenstance, that things happen for no reason at all, and to think that God
has enough faith, brother.
Right, and to think that God has been behind the orchestration of these things is abominable to them. But it's the thing that's amazing is when the rubber meets the road, and these same people are seen in funeral parlors and at the bedsides of their loved ones, they unconsciously behave like Calvinists and think like Calvinists and find peace in God being sovereign over all things.
Right. I am going to look up a passage.
And while you do that, I'll announce our email address again while you're looking up a passage. Our email address, if you'd like to ask a question, and we do have a couple of people already waiting that we have to get to, but send in your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Did you find the verse you're looking for?
I'm at the chapter.
In fact, if you want, I will go to our final break, and this way you'll have more time to look for it.
All right, go ahead, brother.
And this will be a lot more brief than the other breaks that we had. If you'd like to ask Jerry Johnson a question, send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state, and country of residence. Please try to send us your question soon, because we're rapidly running out of time, and there are other people waiting to have their questions asked. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jerry Johnson on lessons he's learned from God after a stroke.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3men.org. That's g3men.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Back together again, yeah. Back together again, yeah.
mention All Men in Ministry Leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
And I am so thrilled that we have men in ministry leadership registering for this Free Pastors Luncheon from all over the United States, not just locally from Pennsylvania, but even as far away as North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, New York City, Long Island, New York, upstate New York, Maryland. I could go on and on with the places where people are traveling to attend this Free Pastor's Luncheon. Not only a free meal, but you're going to be able to experience an excellent message by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries for free, and every man leaves with a very heavy sack of free, brand-new books, personally selected by me, that have been donated by Christian publishers throughout the United States and the United Kingdom. And this is all the brainchild of my late wife, Julie, in the 1990s, who started these luncheons with me, and now that she is in heaven for eternity with Christ, I continue them in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. So I hope you could come. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you are a man in ministry leadership. And we are now back with Jerry Johnson, and we have been discussing lessons he has learned from God after a stroke. And Jerry, have you found that scripture verse you were looking for?
Yes, sir, I did.
Great. Well, let's hear it.
All right. First off, it's in the King James Version. My attitude has always been, if it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me.
Well, the reason I prefer the NASB is because if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me.
Anyway, here it is. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Now, you and I were talking about, was God called off guard? Did he know what was happening? Even the hairs of our head are numbered. So God knows everything. But in verse 22, he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." And this is Peter addressing the crowd. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you with miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him," that's Jesus, "being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God." So right there, even Christ's crucifixion was determined by his counsel and the foreknowledge of himself.
Amen.
So the thing I really want, that one listener, he said, "Have you ever been depressed?" No. Or not depressed. I understand that you know, the mere fact that I have a breath right now, I owe glory to God. The mere fact that I'm not thrown into the lake of fire, I give glory to God. And so even his determined counsel knew about this stroke before I was born. And for that, I take a lot of comfort in that. Now, people may ask me, do you wish this didn't happen? Yeah! But God didn't ask me to lie. He said, trust him. And that's what I'm doing. I'm trusting him. So, all right. I also wanted to make this other declaration. A girl that I had grown up with, we went to church together when we were both little or younger. Her name is Nancy Hardy. She had a massive stroke last night. Her brother was actually in mine and Tracy's wedding 35 years ago. And I would like it if your listeners would keep Nancy in her prayer. I don't know if she's going to make it, but I knew her dad real well. I knew her mom real well. I mean, they used to run a restaurant, and I used to go in there, and Dusty and I would joke around and talk it up, and, I mean, a lot of other things. Actually, Dusty and I were not believers back then. But praise the Lord, we both are now. So just keep Nancy in your prayers.
Amen.
You have another question, brother.
Yes. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania is the one suffering that is very difficult to overcome is the suffering of losing a loved one in death who rejected Christ to our knowledge up to the moment of taking their last breath. How on earth can we even comprehend of getting over such a tragedy?
You know, I don't know. I will tell you this. Nobody is going to be in heaven that doesn't deserve to be there or that deserves to be there. And nobody is going to be in hell that doesn't deserve to be there. So I really don't know. That's a good question. My dad died in 2014. And, I mean, periodically I will read something or watch something, and I think, oh, my dad would really enjoy this. And I go to pick up the phone, and I realize he's gone. Now, my dad was a believer. You know, but somebody that's an unbeliever, I had an uncle die about 2 years ago, and I love my uncle. But I would call him up. He was going in for, like, heart surgery, triple bypass or something. I would call him up and say, Uncle Wayne, I just want to let you know I'm going to be praying for you. And he would say something obscene and then say, don't bother. I don't know up until his last step. If we hung around with the thief on the cross, I don't know either. Other than Scripture says that he made a very valid profession of faith just before he died. So the thing is, I put that in God's hands. And like I said, what was his name? Oh, man. He was R.C. Sproul's teacher.
That would be John Gerstner.
Right. John Gerstner said one time, that even if I see my mother in hell and I'm in heaven, I will rejoice that the righteousness of God is done, the justice is served. And I don't know. I thought that was a good answer, but I know for a lot of people that's not condolence.
In fact, go ahead.
What they need to do is keep their eyes on Christ.
Yeah, my friend Susan, who led me to Christ in the 1980s, she has told me that in pleading with her children who still do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, she pleads to them to cry out to God for salvation, to read the Scripture, to attend services at a biblically solid church. And she has warned them, you see your mom weeping over you now, but there will come a day when I'm in heaven. If I know you're in hell, I will shed no tear for it because I know Christ's will has been done if you continue to reject Christ till the moment you died. And that's a gutsy thing to say.
Yep, it is. Now do let me say this. I wanted to share my testimony with your listeners, and this might help somebody out. I was 25 years old. My wife and I, neither of us were Christians, And my first son was born, and I was upstairs, you know, playing with him. He was like a month old, and my wife was downstairs making dinner. And I looked at this newborn baby about a month old, and I could remember saying, Lord, I cannot be a father to this child. I don't know how. I'm a child myself, you know? And so I prayed, Lord, help me do what's right, help me live what's right. If I need to receive Christ, because I had heard that, I will go ahead and do that. And I went downstairs and I told my wife. Now, my wife was, I guess, kind of a debutante type. She had all the fixings of a worldly person. She never gave God a thought or anything like that. And she said, oh, how nice, white picket fence, going to church, PTA. You know, we're going to be the perfect nuclear family. But the first 3 weeks I was saved, I had read the whole New Testament and about a third of the Old. And I couldn't get enough of it. And my wife realized real quick that my goal in life was not to be a millionaire. That's not my goal in life. My goal in life is to honor Christ in all that I do. And my priorities changed. And that stupid prayer, and I'm calling it stupid from my end, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was stupid. You know? And but just, Lord, help me be a dad. Help me be a good Christian. Help me teach him the right things. Lord, if I need to receive Christ, I will do that. And God saved me. And even though I had grown up in church, man, it's like my eyes were finally open. And all of a sudden, I could say, I wasn't any great sinner. I was just your run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpack sinner. All I cared about was drinking beer and chasing girls. That's all I cared about. But all of a sudden, my priorities changed. And I hope one of your listeners can take that and either share it with somebody, or maybe it'll help them.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, would you not agree it is very dangerous when trying to comfort those who are going through a trial to say, I know how you feel, even if we've experienced certain elements of that person's trial? People are different and they react differently to different trials. Therefore, nobody can truly say, I know how you feel, but we can say, let me tell you what I've experienced and how similar it is, and so on.
Yeah, that is true. Now, I will tell you this. It took me a long time to learn this. A lot of times, the best thing you could do is just be there for them. Be a shoulder to cry on and, you know, hug them and love them and, you know, whatever you have to do. Sometimes you do have to say words. And you're right. I don't know how they feel. I always used to say, why does one person like anchovies and another one doesn't? I don't know. I hate anchovies, but there are other people that love them.
Hey, Buzz, are you listening? That's my friend Buzz in Massachusetts, who used to co-host the show with me, and he loves you, by the way. We would share a pizza and he would get anchovies all over his half, and that disgusting taste would bleed over into my half, and yeah. I'd always be upset about it. But anyway,
I will tell you this. One time Eric Holmberg was at my house and he loved sardines, raw sardines, and he would eat them sitting there on crackers. I would, gross, how can you eat those? You love sardines. I didn't love sardines. I'm sorry. You know, I don't love them. But, you know, I was even thinking about this whole, and I don't like to use the term, but for popular vernacular's sake, I will go ahead and use it. I was listening to this guy the other day, and he was saying, oh, I don't feel like a man, I feel like a woman. And my question was, how do you know what a woman feels like? You're not a woman.
That's a great answer. I never even thought of that.
How do you know what a woman feels like? Well, I had a woman tell me. Well, how does she know what she feels like? She's a woman, you know? Even if somebody explains it to you, how can you identify as that? If you're a man, you can't. You don't know. You might not feel like, or I don't even know if you want to say you don't, you might not feel like a man. You might not feel like anything. I don't know. But you don't know either. So, you know, it's kind of a elementary, if you will. But that is one thing. I would say, I don't know how somebody feels. Now, when my dad died, again, I was sad because I was going to miss my dad, but I also knew he was in heaven. So I didn't have to worry about that. And I'm not saying that. Have you ever noticed that on Facebook, nobody's dad is in hell? I said that to my wife the other day. Have you ever noticed that nobody is in hell? They're all in heaven.
Because they hear that from the priests or the ministers at the funerals.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know Billy Joe Jumbob. I don't know his mind. But I do know if he did not receive Christ as his Lord, that I don't have much hope for him.
Amen.
But I don't know until the last minute what happened. So the thing is, I don't know how anybody feels. I am called to preach the gospel and declare that Christ is the only way, and the rest of it is up to the Lord.
Amen. And I would like you to have a minute to just summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
The thing I want etched into their hearts and minds is that God is sovereign. Nothing catches him off guard. When you are born, how you are knit together, when you will die, you know, the Lord knows everything. So put your faith in that. It is appointed unto all men once to die. We're going to die. There's nothing you can do about it. But God is sovereign, and we need to trust in him.
Amen. And Jerry, I know that you have retired from ministry and you're not operating Nicene Council anymore, but is there any contact information you care to share unless you want our listeners to contact me and I'll pass on?
You know what? Just have them contact you. That would be the best.
Okay. Well, that would be chrisarnson@gmail.com, folks, if you want to ask Jerry a question.
Chris,
off the air.
Chris, I got to make one more.
Sure.
So I was going to give y'all $1,000, which I'm going to do, but I cannot find my wallet. So it might not be till tomorrow. So don't think I forgot you. I can't find it. On that last break, I was furiously looking for it, and I don't know what I did with it.
Well, remind me never to go to an expensive restaurant with you.
There you go.
Well, I also want to let our listeners know that Grace Baptist Church of Woodhaven, Queens, New York, and Soul Fishing Ministries are going to be involved in evangelism this Saturday at Yankee Stadium when Joel Osteen will be speaking there. Joel Osteen is a notorious false teacher and is tragically leading countless thousands of lives through or to the pits of hell with his false gospel. And there will be Sovereign Grace believing Christians there. And if you would like to join them at Yankee Stadium this Saturday, August 6th, go to soulfishingministries.org, soulfishingministries.org, and click on events, and all the details will be there for their outreach at the Joel Osteen Crusade at Yankee Stadium this Saturday. I want to thank you so much, Jerry, for being such a superb guest, and we cannot wait 7 years before you return. I want you to come back very soon. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.